Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back home again. It's strange to come home and feel almost like a visitor, but I appreciate just being able to be here and be with you, and I appreciate the Lord's blessings in times past and other places, but I stand in need of your prayers each and every time. Anybody that's going to be up here trying to proclaim the name of the Christ needs your prayers. It's the only way we can. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This should be, for us Primitive Baptists, a very familiar chapter, right? But even though it's a familiar chapter, let's not take it for granted. Romans chapter 8. I just want to read one verse, and even just part of a verse, just to start to set the tone. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Romans chapter 8, verse 33, Paul writes, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Remember those last two words of that sentence, God's elect. It's His people. If we read the rest of it is God that justifieth. Who's the judge? God the Father. So who's going to bring forth any charge to His elect? We sing that song, "The Love of God." That's such a sweet song, isn't it? Just to try to proclaim His love, try to write His love, we would just drain every pen in this world, right? The books couldn't contain it, right? How much love has God shown unto His people? And I just want to make that a very clear point. His people. It's God's elect. It's His people. I didn't do anything to become one of the elect. I didn't do any good so I could be numbered on one of the elect. It's God's elect. His. Shows ownership. It's His people. So, for some people that weren't brought up with the doctrines of grace or the known of the election or whatever, some people, it's just very a foreign concept to them. The elect. Well, y'all pray for me. Just try to be with us for a little bit longer. And go to Ephesians chapter 1. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, Paul again writing, "According as he hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Before the foundation of the world. Well, that means that was before I was here. Right. I was born in 1986. The world's been around a lot longer than that, right? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Holy and without blame. Brethren, if we're holy and without blame, who can lay any charge to us? Right. Nothing. Nobody. Satan still tries, doesn't he? You know that song, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds"? That one part of that verse in there says, "Satan accuses me in vain." Let's not lose that aspect. Satan will accuse us. Satan will try to hinder us in this life. But his accusations are in vain. Remember that. Take comfort in knowing that who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Amen. Brethren, if we would hold to these truths, hold firm to these sound truths. These past few Wednesday nights, we've been listening to a series that Dad's been bringing forth, and it's just been blessing and blessing, talking about the Word of God, Psalm 119, 89. Thy Word, or excuse me, O Lord, forever, O Lord, thank you. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. I was trying to get two verses mixed up there, thank you. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It's settled. There's no need to add to it. There's nothing nobody can add to it. Nobody can take anything away from it. Oh, people are going to try. Satan will try. But remember, his efforts are in vain. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And his word tells me that according as he hath chosen, that's God the Father, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Another verse is in 1 Peter. Try not to take too much time, so bear with me if we're doing a lot of page turning. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. If we would hold to these sound truths, Peter is talking to the elect and talking about the ones that are scattered. Now, some of these places we're not very familiar with, but it doesn't really matter. It's people that are scattered throughout this world. He has a people in every nation, kindred and tongue, and tribe and people, right? We don't know. You know, it's not like we can just go around and say, you know, like, all right, they're of the elect, they're of the elect. Well, no, they're not of the elect. That's not up to us to decide.
Amen.
Who cares, right? Stay in our lane. Do our thing, right? Try to be the better person that I can be. And if you see somebody not doing the good what they could be doing, pray for them. I can't remember who's the one that first said it, but even the unregenerate has a memory.
Right.
You know, you could be placed in somebody's life before the Lord touches and tenders their heart. Or maybe he already has, but they're still fighting it. They're still dragging and kicking and screaming, right? Some of us have to be grabbed by our hair, kicking and screaming sometimes, right?
Right.
We don't know. God's elect is in a numerous host. I believe that. I believe it's in a numerous host.
Amen.
What's that? He said, in all things he shall have the preeminence. I believe that's true. So Peter's talking to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God. Before the foundation of the world, he set his love upon a people. Another one is in Titus. Titus chapter 1, Paul again writing, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I tell you, the more you read this, the better it sounds, right? That's what it's here for. That's what God's word is here for. It's so needful for us to read on a daily basis. We need this. You know, we also sang that song, Come and Dine. You know, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Brother, we can feast on his word all the time. Any time of the day. It doesn't have to be breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Any time of the day. And we need to. We need to be doing this. We need to be reading this, keeping it fresh in our mind. Because sometimes, brethren, life just gets you down. Sometimes we can just get discouraged. But we need to stop and think of the love that God has for us as the elect. Again, I didn't do anything to be among that number. But I have that spirit within me because oftentimes it convicts me. When I'm doing something that I should be doing something better, right? Or I'm wasting time. That's my biggest problem. I'm wasting time. Brother Paul said, redeem the time. Let's read more. Let's hold these truths more dear. And let's read so we can have those. And some people would talk about, okay, all right, I know that there is an elect. Okay, I get that. There's an elect, but Am I one of them? Am I one of them? You know, so often the vast majority of Christianity nowadays, if you don't do good enough, you're not going. You know, like if you try to make it on time, you know, you're trying to get to the airport and you're having to go through security and taking everything off, all this kind of stuff, all the bags through it, but you run up to there and your plane is already left. You didn't get there on time. Aren't you thankful that that's not the case? Eternal salvation. He has set his love upon people before the very foundation of the world, before airplanes were ever invented, before anything, before the time of departure, anything, right? He set a love upon his people. So when it's time to go, everybody's going to go. And even the ones that have gone on before are going to come back with you. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. So the question is, am I one of them? You know, I already made the fact that I feel that the Spirit is within me. It convicts me. It brings things to my mind. So let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's hard just to start somewhere and with time constraints, but y'all pray for me. Romans chapter 8. Let's just start at verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But if you've ever had a point in time in your life where you felt the Spirit convicting you, you felt some just over-rejoicing, your heart just about to burst when you hear a song that just really lays down the foundational truths of God's Word. If you just hear some really good preaching and you're just almost on the edge of your seat, if you've ever had that experience, if you've ever felt that you are in need of a Savior, that's evidence that you are among the elect. Amen. Aren't we thankful? That's just evidence that we are among the elect. So when he's talking about the elect, he's talking to you. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. That's the only way we can cry unto God, is that the Lord has worked on us first. Because if he hasn't worked on our heart, we don't care anything about God. We don't want to seek after him. That's not in our nature, right? This old sin nature doesn't want to be with the Lord. But when the Lord speaks to us, when the Lord touches and tenders that heart and starts that drawing process. Remember earlier I said some of us have to be drawn by our hair sometimes. But when the Lord starts that drawing process, we will come to him. We will come to him. So, as among the elect, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's how we can cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself, we're talking about the Spirit here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and then joint heirs with Christ. Hold just 1 minute. It says joint heirs. So it's not like we're going to have 1/16th billionth of heaven. Joint heirs. Whatever is Christ is ours. Can y'all get your head around that? I'm still trying. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. In verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's many people that have to suffer in this life. Many people that have to suffer a lot of things. And suffer greatly. But what is to come is so much greater. So much better. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us." So as the elect, after we feel the Spirit witnessing within us, even our convictions, brethren and sisters, we need to take comfort in knowing that we're not too far gone, right? Even if we feel convicted, pricked to the heart, we can still cry, "Abba, Father," because we're of the elect. So we go back to that verse 33, Romans chapter 8, verse 33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Oh, they can trump up some charges, right? They can try to. "Satan accuses me in vain," right? That's one of the things the Lord, you know, Satan just tries to whisper in my ear all the time. You've messed up. But this word also tells me that when I do mess up, I can confess my sins to Him. I can go to Him and confess my sins. And it says that He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's why we need this word. That's why it's so important for us to have this word with us. And not just in printed form with us always. I encourage that a lot. But have it in here. Read it in here. Store it up. Treasure it up. Because it is a treasure. And we can use it in our day-to-day life. So, if we jump back a little bit in verse 31, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?"
That's right.
Boy, we're needing that verse more and more as we're going through this life, right?
That's
right. Just seems like the world is closing in. But remember, with God is always the majority. Doesn't matter what the world can bring upon us. With God, there's always the majority. So, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And talking about that love, listen to this. Verse 32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?"
Amen.
That's love.
That's right.
If you've ever have gotten to the point in your life where you question whether God loves you, and I know a child of God can get there. We can get so discouraged in this life that it can happen. But remember, He that spared not His own Son, He gave Him for us. Because that was the only way to settle that debt. I couldn't pay it. You can't pay it. We all combined couldn't pay it.
That's right.
Because our blood is tainted. It took the pure blood of Christ. That's that sacrifice that had to be made, that blood that had to be shed. So, again, with verse 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Can't. And I can't hardly go to Romans chapter 8 without going and reading the last part of it. In verse 38. Remember that love that He set upon us. We can never be separated from that love. Verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So when life starts throwing curveballs at you, when Satan's whispering in your ear, just remember, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm God's. Satan can't do anything to me. He can bother me. You know, he's like that dog that's on that chain. Oh, he can just sit there and bark and snarl and just pester you and get on your nerves all the time. But he's a chained beast. He can't take you. You're God's elect. And He's the God that cannot lie. And remember, His word is forever settled in heaven. So let us take comfort in knowing these truths and know that nothing can separate me from His love. And it says, and Paul even talks of nor any other creature. Remember, nor any other creature. That means I can't even separate myself from His love. I can move from His fellowship from time to time. I could be removed from His fellowship. But I can never be utterly separated from His love. You know, it's like here on earth, we have, you know, the relationships we have with our parents or our loved ones. You know, at times we're not around. Sometimes we have to be separated. But that love is still there, right? How much more stronger is the love of God? I tell you, if you get your head wrapped around that, I'll tell you you're lying because you can't. But it's nice to try, right? Try to fathom the love of God. Try to think about the love that He has shown forth to us and the love that He continues to show forth every day. Like I said earlier, I can move from His fellowship from time to time. But no matter how far I get, I can still call upon the name of the Lord and He'll hear. So who can lay charge of anything, anything of God's elect? Nothing. Nobody. Remember, we're God's elect. There's nothing stronger than that. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.